You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Trample Bet Podcast for Saturday, 14th of December 2019. I'm your host John Walker and with me this week's Andy Vaughan.
Good evening, John.
And Gordo.
Good evening, John.
This is Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Because I had previews around.
It's the perfect time.
The worst
Andy,
time.
Andy, it's not.
Well, it is because it's as close as possible to the weekend, so you get more information.
It's the blurst of times.
I'm all about the more information. I'm not like Gordon. He's got his picks for the next 3 months already written down.
It's just Dunkirk. It's not a really difficult list.
So, picks from the 7th of December.
What a week.
What a week we had.
What a week.
Nine out of 12.
You guys were massively impressive on your banker values and outsiders, but all the bankers. We sold it on that when we started this, was the very minimum needs to be all the bankers.
All the bankers. Yeah. So I put the treble on of the bankers every week, and it was nice this week. But my banker was 2-0 down at halftime.
Yes.
And looking at Twitter, no one was impressed. and one of the other teams in the division actually tweeted, "Don't worry, this happened to us like 2 weeks ago, and we ended up winning 4-3." And then, of course, Bristol Rovers came back and won 4-2. So that was nice.
Could beat Millwall the other night. I was on. It was part of a treble I had on. It was very annoying.
So my banker, I went annoyingly conservative, which is probably a fucking theme for this week.
So your banker was Salzburg versus Tyrol over 2.5 goals.
Just over
and there was a goal within like 40 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there was a second goal within 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was great.
And then there was a disallowed third goal within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then just before half time it went 3-0.
It's great when you get that tick next to it on your betting slip though within like the first half.
But the interesting part, and something I probably should have noted, is the last time they played was 5-1, and there's been two previous 5-1s in the last 8 years between the two. They've not played a lot.
So 5-1.
It's a 5-1.
It's normally something I chucked like a £5 free bet on.
Yeah.
Just to go, if this comes in, it's really good.
Mm. Yeah. But the odds on it, like, due to that, were massively cut.
Yeah.
Still 1-4.
1-4's on it, banker.
Good shout. Mine, so as we already said, was Bristol Rovers. Quite big odds of just better than 1-2.
Did you just re-back that every time Southend scored?
No, I just left it. I should have, though. So Bristol Rovers ran out 4-2 winners.
And mine was Olympiacos away, and they won 3-0. It was 2-7.
Very convincing. That was the one you were waiting on the next night.
Yeah, it was the Sunday game. It was good.
My value, Slovako Pilsen. Victoria Pilsen, they were on the cunts list. They will never be used again. End of story, they lost 2-1.
So that game, because I put a fiver on all our picks, and that game was that killed the 12-team coupon.
At the time, yes. Yeah,
it returned 111,000 if it came in. And I think my cash out went up as far as 400.
Yeah.
Which was good. It was a good run.
We were saying that the other day, though. You were actually unfortunate with how the games fell for you, because that game was really early on to
if that had been later, like, because we'd already got both our outsiders in, so the odds were quite good. If that had been on the Sunday, maybe. But hey, a 12 of 12 week will come.
Yeah.
So my value was in the Scottish Premier League. It was a very informed Motherwell against a pretty dreadful Hearts. Motherwell home win 1-0 at odds of evens.
Hearts are fucking terrible.
Oh, they're awful.
They are.
We've seen they've got a new manager though.
Yes, but mate, what Daniel can he do Stenel. With them?
I don't know. He didn't even know who they were like 3 days ago.
What? So he was Barnsley manager.
He was, and before was that,
and Hibs have nicked Barnsley's manager last season.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It's just a championship's clearly tin pot.
So my girlfriend saw him being announced as manager on the news, and she went, "He doesn't look like a football manager at all. He looks like someone that works in B&Q or someone like you." I was like, "What?
What do you mean? B&Q employee material.
What do you mean someone like me?" And she went, "No, he just doesn't look like he's spent a life being a professional footballer, because he really doesn't."
Yeah.
But he did have a reasonable career in Germany.
All right. Well, I'll reserve judgment, but I think Hearts need a whole new squad. Because they're awful.
They're bad. It's probably worth looking out for whoever Hearts are playing in the next few weeks and just keeping an eye on it with a new man in charge. But I think I got Motherwell at 6-5. So that was a lovely win.
And mine was, this is the start of the section where I talk about how much I bet against Bayern this week. Last week, Duisburg beat Bayern 2-3. They were 3-1 up and they scored, Bayern scored in the 90,
stoppage time.
90 plus 4 or something. Came in pretty comfortably, really, to be honest.
My outsider was terrible and it almost rivaled your one, Andy, from the 8-1 a couple of years ago.
Now, I don't know if it rivals that or not, because at least that one was like 16-1.
Yeah, I mean, my team to even get a draw, though, were still like 12-1, then it was 18. It went out to as far as 30-1, and this is when I was telling you
because I looked at 365, and X2 was still 5-2.
Mate, you were not looking on the same place I was looking, because Skybet had posted that they had 7 players missing, and they were like 30-1 to win, and 18-1 to get a draw, and that's why I was saying to you, fucking cash out the now before this game starts.
You were still getting the benefit of the doubt with Bet365.
Benefit of the doubt, I don't mind. I made a lot of money this weekend.
Cash money.
Yeah, they lost 5-0 and I took the double chance.
Yep, nice. Well, it was fucking, yeah, that's bad.
I mean, that's really the only blip out of the whole podcast last week.
Yeah. And it was a 5-1 shot, so grand. My outsider was 10-3. It was Osnabrück away at Kiel, and Osnabrück won that match 4-2. So pretty comfortable outsider win.
Mine, so comfortable, like, just slid on in. I watched the highlights for this game, so I had Mönchengladbach to beat Bayern, and I watched the highlights, and Mönchengladbach didn't feature until the 60th minute. All the highlights were of Bayern.
They hadn't had a shot.
They hadn't had a shot. They scored a header from a corner, a really good header, and then Bayern kind of started falling apart a bit. They missed a really good chance to go up 2-1, and I was like, fuck, that's their one chance at it. And then, because there's no VAR in the... There is VAR, but they didn't review the penalty. Like, they had a look at it. The ref went, no, it's definitely a penalty. Didn't even consult or anything, and they went and scored it. He slid right underneath him. He made no contact.
I would say you don't need to make contact to give away a foul.
But he basically...
If it's a reckless challenge and the attacker has to hurdle him and break stride, you have essentially cheated by sliding in and committing a foul.
I wouldn't have given it as a penalty. I'd have been annoyed to concede this penalty.
The reason that this whole contact thing does my head in is that's why people leave trailing legs. To get the penalty that they deserve from someone making an absolutely horrendous tackle that would end a goal-scoring opportunity. So you have to leave your leg in to get touched.
The only time no contact is not a booking or a red card or anything is when a player pretends to throw the ball at another player and he shits himself.
Really? That's fucking excellent.
No,
John's opinion.
Somebody did it to Barry Ferguson, I remember, on an old firm a few years ago, and then I seen a Falkirk player do it to a United player recently.
That thing like where you go to throw it and then drop the ball instead.
He goes like, throws it and like, holds it into himself, and the guy turns away and he's like laughing in his face, and you're going, aye, but if you went to like headbutt somebody and faked it, you get sent off.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah.
But yeah, so then they scored this penalty, and the VAR review took place on the encroachment into the box. That was the delay. And no encroachment. 2-1, comfortable.
But that was almost 4-1.
Yeah, it was. And you know, it was even more annoying because a couple of my games, like Duisburg, Duisburg at one point before the game had drifted up as well. Mönchengladbach were 22-1 to come back and win that game during the.
Oh, when they went a goal down.
Yeah, when they went a goal down.
They had no shots.
Nothing. There was no chance of them winning the game. So at no point could I have taken them in conjunction with anything though when the games were taken. So, but good result.
Charity did not come in, but Lack Linz away to Wolfsburg at 13-10, 3-1, pretty comfortable, good result. They've won every game away from home this season.
Yeah, and continue to roll on. I took Leicester away at Villa, who ran out 4-1 winners.
How did this...
You didn't like that not, price. That not, price was brilliant.
I do think it changed on Tyrone Mings getting injured, no?
Leicester was always going to win that game.
But was it not 1-1 when he went off? No, it was 2-1.
No, Leicester went 2-0 up.
And then Grealish scored.
And Bet365 had paid out. Oh, so I actually didn't care.
Job done.
Yeah, job done. Yeah, as soon as you get a 2-goal lead and you're... Bet365 have paid out in Dundee United winning the championship yesterday.
What are they, 10 or 11 clear?
10. So I think maybe that's for specific leagues. As soon as a team goes 10 points clear, Maybe that's the rule. Same as the two goals up.
I think they just base it on the money.
When to close the market. Yeah, just let's not take any more.
Yeah.
We're paying out a small amount. Let's get it done.
Why not? But yeah, and it was me who fucked the charity this week. I took Deportivo La Coruña to draw with Zaragoza. And
was it even close?
They got back to 2-1 at one point, and they were doing a bit, but they caught the break. So and they lost 3-1. But and the annoying thing is, and not on the podcast as well, I led that selection by saying, previously I'd have backed Zaragoza now, but experience has taught me that Deportivo get draws against teams at the top of the league, because I went back and listened to the podcast. So
I'm sure when I posted my mega coupon as well in the Facebook group, Jason Stott said, this is all going to come crumbling down with Gordon's terrible draw shout anyway.
Yeah. I was like, thanks, Jason. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Did we have any winners within the group?
Oh, yeah. So there was plenty. George Jones put out a great shout on Man United at the weekend. He's a Man U fan, watches the games.
I think we talked about this on the group chat.
Yeah.
Just when I seen they were 12-1 or something before the game.
Exactly.
How?
So great shout from him, and I know a few of the boys made money on that. Martin Eriksson took Osnabrück and Mönchengladbach, so mine and Gordon's outsider, as a double at 25-1. And that came in.
Fucking hell.
Spicy.
So excellent from that. And I know, who else? Stuart Errington, he had a punt on Edinburgh City. He took -1, which unfortunately didn't come in. They were playing Cove Rangers, and I think -1 was like 7-1. But after looking at it, I took Edinburgh City to be leading at halftime and win the game. So that came in for me. So cheers, Struan. That was really good. And finally, Michael Garrett.
Yep. He had all of our bankers plus Celtic, I believe.
Oh, I don't like that.
All of our bankers.
All came in.
Was he just waiting on Celtic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that had been quite the sweat, I think.
I took both teams to score in that game. Very frustrating.
When Rangers got that penalty and the man went off, everyone that had Celtic on a coupon would probably not have felt too hot about it.
Yeah.
Mate, it was awful. See, even that penalty miss went in, I've never felt 20,000 people just agree.
Aye, we're done.
There's no goal.
Yep.
Like that was all it was. There's no goal coming. It's absolutely done. Nothing changed. Nothing.
As a neutral, I thought it was a really good cup final to watch.
Very, very good cup final. Yeah. I had a good chuckle at Frimpong's post-match interview. It's been shared everywhere. The fact that he's like clearly unmedia trained at all. And like the girls like, so do you think it was a penalty? He went, absolutely it was a penalty. Should I get sent off? Open for debate. And he was like, and then she was like, all right, okay. Like asked him some
that's
other,
quite refreshing. I like that.
And they asked him some other questions as well. And he just like, I can't remember what he says. It's a really like,
oh my days.
Oh my, yeah. He was like, God, oh my days. And he's like, it was so close and all this stuff. He's like, I was just looking back at the manager and he was looking at me and all this. It was a really good interview.
That's cool.
Conroy called him right away. Like, I think he'd done his first interview maybe 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Conroy wouldn't shut up about him. Which is nice, because I would like if like one of my favourite Rangers players would start speaking English.
Yeah.
To be able to do interviews.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to hear from him now and again. But I mean, probably not going to be here long enough.
Nope.
But that penalty does my box in, man. Honestly.
A
bad day for you, but an excellent weekend for the podcast.
Exactly.
Podcast and the listeners.
Sportsbook balances around the globe. Getting cheeky with it. Getting cheeky with it.
With it. This week's Scottish Players Abroad, or Getting Ziggy With It, which he can't really be this week because he had a free week. So because the Australian A-League is transformed.
Wonder what he did with that free week.
I don't know either. Probably just chilled out.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll find out soon enough. So he was free week. Jack Harper, Alcorcón lost 3-1 at home to Oviedo. He was not in the squad. He seems to always be out that fucking team.
Yeah, I know. I'll look through the Alcorcón lineup for him.
And he's never there.
And he's not even on the like injured players list.
Oh, is he not?
No.
Because that's what I've assumed, because every like, couple of weeks, he's straight back into the starting 11.
Yeah.
In and out again. Liam Henderson, still, he's been out of the squad for 7 games in a row now.
Yeah. His future's not looking bright there.
Nah, they lost 3-2 away to Atalanta, who are a good side. But I don't really know how he's going to get back in that team, because... They're not playing
terribly.
They're okay at home. Away from home, they could probably do with an arm midfielder. Charlie Gilmore over in Holland. Telstar drew 1 each with NSC Breda. He's got a huge game coming up next week against Ajax in the last 16 of the Cup.
Televised?
It is on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it on Skybet probably as well. Mm-hmm. That's your best. You need to put a bet on, I think, to see it.
Not a problem.
Just for all our listeners, live football on UK TV is, just type that into Google. That's an excellent website.
Can you watch it on Android phones?
No, it's not for watching. It just tells you all the football that's televised and what channel it's
that
on.
That is fantastic.
It even does things like, you know, specialist YouTube feeds, you know, official ones.
Right.
It's got them as well. So anything, if you're based in the UK or have a UK IP address, all the things that you can legally watch are listed on that website. Live football on UK TV.
Both goals, highlights are on. Both goals in the Telstar and Breda game are very similar. Both cutbacks from inside the box to good finishes inside the box. Charlie Gilmore could have had an assist right at the end, but it was our famous like assist where you're kind of playing a very simple pass and somebody hits a strike for 30 yards.
Yeah,
brilliant.
And he smacked the bar. So, no win for Charlie Gilmore. Tony Watt has had an indifferent week. Played the league game against Arda away, played 83 minutes. Hit the post in 32 minutes. Good chance from a corner missed that Tony Watt should have probably took the header on. But the next game, it was the same team in the cup, so they're now in the quarterfinals of the Bulgarian Cup. Tony Watt did come on near the end, and he did a 1-on-1. I think I've talked about Tony Watt before. Diving.
Yes.
You need to go watch this because there's no replay of it.
Oh, it's just a one and done. Like,
hits a shot, keeper gets a touch to it, goes wide. He keeps running towards the goal because he's been pelting at full pace, and the ball is bouncing back in from the stand, and the keeper goes to like palm it out towards the corner flag.
Yeah, just to return the ball basically.
And Tony Watt's maybe 2 feet to the side of him and throws himself to the ground holding his face. For all I know, the keeper might have actually slapped him with the ball because you can't see for the angle.
Right.
But it looks
like a terrible pathetic
dive. Yeah.
But he is off the pitch because I can only assume he has actually been hit. But there's no angle, so people, it's on there. Go watch it. Clean through and goal. Misses his chance. Keeper makes a good save, to be fair. But then he decks it, and I can't tell what's happened.
A ball to the face is sore.
Not if the keeper's just palming it to the side.
If it's a mitre mould master.
I don't think the official ball of CSK Moscow.
Absolutely agony.
Ryan Gold suffered his first league defeat for SC Firenze in, I think, 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 1-0 at Nacional. Two early corners, Ryan Gold put a great one in on somebody's head. Nacional then took the lead after 20 minutes. Gold had a good chance from 8 yards out. They probably should have scored. Cut back from the left back. He's running onto it, but he hits it for a crowd of players. Straight at the goalkeeper. 43 minutes, Gold set up a goal for the striker, but it ruled offside. No replay, but it definitely looks like he cuts it back.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like he's ahead and he's put it back into the striker's path because they're going mental. But
did you draw a line on your screen? Just try and get it back.
Measure with somebody's fucking shoulder was.
Aye.
Firenze were then denied a blatant penalty after about an hour in the second half. And Ryan Gold had got snapped off the ball, trying to play a 1-2 round to one of their midfielders. Just got wiped out and there's a wee kick out by one of them. Don't know which player it was, but they're going after our boy.
I like the notes here. Ryan Gold involved in an altercation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get these directly from the Portuguese police?
He's quite slight. Yeah, he's also a really nice guy, but I can't imagine.
So he's come inside off the right wing and he's nicked a ball just round the midfield to play a 1-2 and the guy just bars them off the ball as he's played it.
Yeah, but I'm just imagining if there's handbags afterwards. I can't ever imagine a situation. He'd need honours.
He holds his leg, it looks like, and the guy tries to stamp his leg back at him and then pushes his head away. But Ferenc absolutely pummeled him in the second half. But that's Nacional now cutting the league down to 2 points because they're second. And so
top of the table clash, that one.
It was, but that was a chance to go 8 points clear and all but secure your return to the top flight of Portuguese football.
Well, you rightly belong, Ryan, if you're listening.
Belongs higher than that. Fraser Hornby for Kortrijk, they won 2-1 in the Cup in Eupen, so Fraser Hornby's Kortrijk are through to the quarterfinals of the Belgian Cup, which is excellent. We don't have any highlights of that game. Can't find them anywhere, not on their Twitter, not on YouTube.
They were down 1-0, I know that.
Yep.
Yeah, they came back from it.
Went away to Mechelen, he played 60 minutes in the air. Nice opening goal. Only highlights of that game are both goals.
Goal.
Nothing else to see.
No fucking about. I like that efficiency.
And over to Australia, Claire Emsley, who's on loan from Orlando Pride with Melbourne Victory, played the full 90 minutes. Lovely first goal for Melbourne by Emily Van Eggman. Good run by Emsley to take the centre half away to let the other striker be played in. Emsley hit the post. It was like a cross in the left wing curling in and she's just got a toe in front of the defender near post, hit the post. Poor goal conceded, dink ball over the defence, right back should deal with it, nothing done, one each. And then I believe it's Sofia Huerta in the second half, is just a fucking beautiful peg on the right back. Like, it reminded me, I remember Alec Clarend. Uh-huh. Not the same thing, but Del Piero done a turn to him. And there's like, if the internet had been alive in 1997,
gifs everywhere.
Everywhere of Alec Clarend still in Stadio del Alpe. That was a joke that I seen a Rangers fan put, and I thought it was hilarious when they knocked that stadium down, going, Alec Clarend's still there. And then Mijatovic scored the winner. Left foot, not a half volley, but it's like bouncing. It's bounced a few times, but
quarter
she catches
volley.
It on the rise.
An eighth volley.
It's fucking beautiful into the far corner. So they're through to the fifth round of that cup. Claire Emsley seems to be pretty much a mainstay of that strike force. Our sponsored player, Michael Hewitt, so Auchinleck Talbot.
The Talbot.
Won quite convincingly.
Yep.
Their social media and videos now are great.
They were the most impressive.
Plus minutes of highlights.
Yeah. And slowing down the goals.
Yep.
That was quite impressive. They could have slowed down both. So our sponsor player, Michael Hewitt, got sent off in the second half at 4-1. The game finished 6-1. The first one it's like a slight nudge in his back when he goes for a header. Mm-hmm. And you can see Michael Hewitt say at least four times, it's my first fucking foul.
Yeah.
And it's nothing. I mean, it's not like an elbow to the back. He's literally maybe put his hand in the guy's back in the air.
Yeah.
And he's thrown himself to the ground. The second yellow for the penalty, he definitely wins the ball.
Yeah.
The ball, you only get one angle, but the ball goes the other way. That was what Andy Gray used to always say. If you can see the ball going the direction the player's sliding,
he's probably
almost certainly touched the ball.
Yeah.
And it literally goes back at an angle. You know he's won the ball, but the penalty made it 4-1, sent off to 10 men. So he'll be missing for...
Will be.
Well, I don't know if there is an appeals process.
I mean, it's bad when the sponsor player is suspended, but it's great when he makes headlines.
Yes.
A sending off's good.
Scoring goals
well done,
last
son.
Week.
Yeah. Yes. Sending offs today. Getting involved.
Top of the league.
goes off for his saying jail. And Michael Hewitt, Trample Bed sponsor player, is leaving the pitch.
So this week's picks, I'll start. Banker in Croatia, Osijek versus Slaven Bilipo. I'm going over 1.5 goals. You're getting 1-3 as per Skybet just now. I can't tell you what will happen when this podcast comes out. Did you just get the weird thing I sent you, the screenshots of both my picks being frozen odds the minute the game kicked off?
Yeah, it just stopped.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this, like, linked direct to my phone that it knows? It was only two games in the whole of the calendar on Skybet that I couldn't actually go in and put a bet on whilst they were in play. And I still didn't really have a reason for it. It never let me back in to bet on them.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, over 1.5 goals. There's a few numbers here, but I'll try and keep it easy. Osijek's goal ratio after 18 games in the season for and against is an average of 2.6. Slaven Bilipo is an average of 2.75. Osijek's average home scoring for record is 2.2, and Slaven Bilipo's conceded record away from home is exactly 2 goals. So you can take over 1.5 goals in the game at 1-3, but I would also look at Osijek just for over 1.5 goals themselves, which are much better odds, but that is not the one I'm picking. I'm just saying, in all their home games and all Slaven Bilipo's away games, they have conceded and scored over 1.5 goals for the home team. But I'm just going for the game's total, over 1.5 goals, 1-3.
Cool. I like that you're going to this depth when I just go, that other team's shite. So my banker this week is a Pau at home to Le Puy.
Pau!
Punch in the face. Top versus bottom clash. Pau have played 8 and got 18 points. Le Puy have 4 points from their 8 away games. They're just not a very good team. It's actually good news because they had no price for this. Initially thought it would be about 1-3. It's actually 1-2. Pau and Dunkirk are the two guys that are running away with the league. Le Puy are just really, really bad. They were one of the promoted teams last year. They can't keep up the pace of this league.
Struggling.
And they're struggling. So, 1-2.
1-2 now?
1-2 now.
My banker, Saturday, 12:30.
Easy, man.
This is just...
That's the whole point of a banker.
Never mind.
Liverpool at home to Watford. Liverpool should be on every coupon and every single bet. anyone puts on this weekend, just add it, just to boost.
I do actually think 1-5 is ridiculous.
1-5. Normally, when you hear odds of 1-5, you don't think they're tremendous odds. These are tremendous odds.
Well, Norwich, Norwich versus Man City early in the season. Man City were 1-11 to win away at Norwich.
Yeah, that's away from home.
Who were a better team than Watford?
Yes.
So this makes no sense.
It just makes no sense to me at all, 1-5. Since the year 2000, right, Liverpool have won every single game they've played against Watford at Anfield. Right? It's only six matches because they dropped down in the division, but the last three that have taken place in 2016, 2017, 2018 have ended 5-0, 5-0 and 6-1 in favour of Liverpool. So these aren't just wins. These are absolute horsings.
Yeah.
And the way that Liverpool are playing just now is, I would say, arguably better than they've been playing at any point in the last 20 years. And the way Watford are playing just now is awful. They're rock bottom of the table.
They're on the third manager of the season.
Yeah.
They conceded, they went up 1-0 and lost 2-1 at the weekend.
I would happily look at this Liverpool -2.
Yeah.
Like, what are you getting still think, you
I've no idea, but because this is the banker bet, I just want to get something just to boost coupons and to include in the banker treble. So I'm taking just a Liverpool win at 1-5. But I honestly think if you want to start messing about with handicaps, this is the game to do it.
Yeah, because our free bankers here are going to get you over even money. Returns.
Over even money, brilliant.
Just having a look at this to see what you get for your
we've talked about adding segments, and I think a segment I would like to add to this to make it more debatey is a rule change or a law change that we should try and suggest. See, as and when you see things that fucking wind you up, you should try and write down what your suggested law change would be.
Okay.
And for me, I think that managers should adhere to a transfer window as well, so that clubs and players can't just fucking shit the bed and go,
get rid of manager,
I don't like this cunt, so I'm going to stop playing. You go, no. He's the same as you.
End of the season.
You can't leave till January.
Yeah.
He's stuck here. If we're going to sack him, we'll do it in January. But until then, you better fucking start playing, because otherwise you're going to be in the relegation zone.
I was just thinking, how could people mess around with that, though? Like, say your manager was shit and you're going to get relegated. What if a fan tries to assassinate him? Because obviously there'd have to be a thing if a manager still got ill or died, you would have to get someone else in.
But it would be the same way with players. You can terminate a contract, but you would have to promote from with what you already had.
Okay.
So you could just do what they normally do and bring in a caretaker until you're... Then you have to wait to January to appoint a new manager.
Yep.
That's the way it should work. It's just... How can you fucking go through three? How can you be in your third manager of the season already? That means with the caretaker probably having taken the last game, was it Hayden Mullins, I think, that took the game?
No idea.
And got an 0-0 draw against Palace. And I don't know when they sacked Flores and when Sanchez, or when they sacked Sanchez and Flores
came
in.
Back.
If there was another caretaker that maybe took a game.
That's madness.
They could potentially have had 5 managers in like 14 games in the league. That's fucking embarrassing. That shouldn't actually be allowed.
No, I agree with you. I think most people would agree with you.
And what's just getting boring is the fucking...
constant manager speculation.
English football gets a lot of grief, and a lot of it's rightly so. Mourinho made a wee joke about it, referring back to a comment he made when he was Chelsea manager, when he said he'd never managed Tottenham. And he goes, what changed? And he goes, oh, I get sacked by Chelsea.
Yeah.
And he went, that's all well and being cute, but what you're actually saying is all it takes for your principles to change is... fucking what, not having a £7 million a year job for 2 seconds. He could have waited for the Bayern job, because I took a job in Portugal, no bother. He could have looked elsewhere in the world, but he's literally went back to Chelsea's rivals. With Mourinho, it's because he's a fucking narcissistic prick. It's deliberate with him that's going back there. He would have taken the fucking Arsenal job if it got offered to him. It winds me up so much that these just happily move around clubs. So Alex Ferguson,
that's his livelihood, though. And if a team sacks you, what are you meant to do? Just not work?
No, you still get paid until your contract's up.
Right, so just not work?
Yeah. Well, you can get...
I disagree with you that. Totally disagree with you. You should be free to go wherever you like.
Well, it's the Fabregas-Chelsea thing. What not to do is don't make statements you don't believe in.
Yeah, okay, I'll agree with you in that.
I can say categorically, I will never coach, manage or work at Celtic or Tottenham. Whether that's ability-wise or through my own choice.
It's easier for you to say that than it is Jose Mourinho.
Nah, it's fucking, yeah.
What? I don't think Jose Mourinho would have worked at
this,
Celtic.
This coming in, John has just been signed by Ton. He's just wearing the tie already. It's like, I knew this was coming.
Honestly, I could see that categorically, never ever do the fucking either of them.
It's madness.
At any fucking level.
But I don't think this isn't just a new problem either, though. Do you not? I remember when Tommy McLean became the Dundee United manager, he had his previous job, he had been Raith Rovers manager for a day. So he got introduced at the press conference and everything like that. And then obviously Jim McLean, his brother, on Dundee United, chairman.
Yeah.
And went, Tommy, fucking, one day the United job. One day.
Didn't he get his tracksuit measured or in?
I don't know.
So the point in that was being that Ancelotti, who's been Chelsea manager, is linked with numerous jobs in England that are available just now.
Everton, Arsenal.
Emery's been linked with the Everton job. Pochettino's been linked with the Arsenal job. You're going, nobody actually gives a fuck. Like, nobody actually gives a fuck about anything they've done. Nobody just go, I'll take another job in our club that was just down the road, or my biggest rival.
No, just down the road's fine. Stay in the same house.
Mourinho never lived in Manchester, though.
He lived in a hotel.
Yeah, he refused to leave his house in London. He's like, I'll fucking stay in a hotel during the week, and that's it.
Shit.
That sort of does say something, though, doesn't it?
It says everything about him.
Yeah.
Everything.
Likes London.
You can tell I don't like Mourinho much, yeah, but I could direct us at Fabregas as well, where I'd never play for Chelsea thing, and then as soon as an offer came in, you're like, oh, okay.
I'd never played with Chelsea until this check moved me.
Anyway, Liverpool are going to beat Watford, guys. You'll get them at 1-5. It should be on every coupon.
Yeah.
Yep.
My value is in Germany, and it's your outsider pick from last week away to Kiel. So we've got Osnabrück at home to Dresden. Dresden I previously bet against with Hamburg, and it's been Hamburg's only win in about 8 games. Osnabrück are even money at home. 4 wins from 5 in their last 5 home games in the league. They've beaten the top 2 of 3. They beat Stuttgart and Hamburg in that time. That's the biggest one for me, as the last 2 home games. And Dresden have the same reverse record away from home, where they've lost 4 of the last 5. Even money seems really good for
them. They're in good form and they're scoring goals. It's everything you want playing at home.
Yeah, so Osnabrück at home to Dresden, even money.
Nice, sounds good. My value, I think, is my bet of the week. I'd comfortably say this. So Inter away to Fiorentina. Inter get put out last night in the Champions League, and that's probably a good thing and for this bit.
Are they in Europa now? Are they out completely?
Europa.
So it's
not as if they've still got some pressing. They'll be playing wherever they play. If they get further on the Europa, then they might.
They'll take it seriously later on.
So, but Inter are the form team in that league, just under Lazio. They've got 13 points from the last 5. Fiorentina have won. 1 point from the last 5 games. They've got 8 points all season at home. They're not a good team. I think Inter will go here and they'll win comfortably, and you're getting them all over evens, 12-11. I really like that bit.
My note to add to this is that Fiorentina have been okay at home getting draws, except when they've played any of the current top 4.
Any good teams.
Napoli, Juventus. They've drawn Juventus, lost to Lazio and Napoli at home convincingly. So anytime a good team comes calling at home, they seem to fucking crumble.
Yes. So I really like that, and I was saying to Andy earlier on the week as well, I think it's an excellent pick.
Is that your favourite?
Oh yeah.
He likes it. Likes it a lot. My value bet, I'm in the Portuguese Primeira Liga, so the top division in Portugal is Setúbal versus Aves, and you'll get the home team Setúbal at even money. They're 11th in the league. Aves are bottom of the 16 team league. They have 0 points away from home this season.
That's bad.
So that's having lost every single one of their 7 road games.
They lost to Ryan Gold's friends 5-2 in the cup. Who are really below.
They're really bad, and they're really bad away. Setúbal, they don't score many goals, but they also don't concede ever. I'm being serious. They've conceded once in their 7 home matches.
Right, okay.
1 goal against. So they're a decent mid-table team. 8 points from the last 5 matches. Aves are just so dire. I guess the one thing that you could look at and go, even is a big price for this, why are you getting such a big price? Probably because Setúbal don't score so many goals.
That's my only question in part.
But Aves are so bad that I reckon they'll be able to score against them, and should they score against them, that game's over.
Yeah. It's like, do we not take
Belenenses
to beat Aves at the start of the season, and just their other dire.
So that's Saturday at 8:30 PM UK time.
Okay, my outsider is in the Bundesliga 2 again. Sandhausen at home to Hamburg. Hamburg are third in the league, but they've only beaten Dresden. They've won once in their last 8 games, home or away. I was looking into this quite in as much depth as possible. Sandhausen have beat Stuttgart, who are just above Hamburg in the league, with 20% possession. They had none of the ball and stung them on 2 counter-attacks, and that was the way they played. Hamburg have lost the last 2 away games, keeping 65 to 70% possession.
So it's going to be similar.
They're going to sit, and it's the 12:30 game on Saturday afternoon on BT Sport 3. Sandhausen will sit in, and I honestly believe the way Hamburg's defence is, because they get rid of David Bates,
I see,
are going to fucking fall apart, because they started really well. And I was like, oh, Bates obviously wasn't needed, but they are fucking stinking now.
Same boy, it's the same guy who was playing beside him, the Slavic guy.
No,
he was absolutely gant.
No, Van Drongen.
Yeah.
The fucking Russian-Belgian looking cunt.
Yes.
He's fucking awful.
Oh, he's rubbish.
So if you're actually going to watch that game, honestly, Sandhausen will sit in and be boring and let Hamburg have all the ball, and they will try and catch them on the break. 11-4 was too good. Won the last two home games. As I said, Stuttgart are above them. It's going to be that exact type of game. Hamburg, all possession. Sandhausen, break.
Nice. My outsider this week is Sassuolo away at AC Milan, which doesn't seem like it. You look at the initial, just the colours and the form and various different things. They're both near each other in the table. I mean, any other season where AC Milan weren't having a fucking terrible time, this would be a comfortable win for them. However, Sassuolo get results against the bigger teams. They drew 2-2 with Caligari, and they had a penalty missed in that to win the game 3-2. They do well against kind of bigger teams. They drew with Juventus as well. I fancy them away from home. I think this is a similar thing to... You're saying they'll have none of the ball and they'll be hitting them in the break. But I just think that they're a better team, a better price than AC Milan. I would be nowhere near AC Milan this weekend.
Yeah.
What odds are you getting?
4-1. Yeah, I looked at the double chance. It's 10-11. So it's not
four
like
4-1's good. I like 4-1.
I quite like the double chance because AC Milan draw a fucking shit ton of games because they are rubbish.
They're mince. But Sassuolo, I mean, they get a result against Juventus. They drew one each with them.
Right.
So I feel like it's a good pick. 4-1.
My outsider, I'm taking my banker of last week who did the business, who are now an outsider, and you're getting the very tasty odds of 10-3 for Bristol Rovers away at Ipswich. That's England League One, Saturday, 3 p.m. So Ipswich are second in the league. Bristol Rovers are fifth. The team's only separated by 5 points in the table, but Bristol Rovers very much have form in their side. Ipswich struggling at home of late. They've won none of their last five home games. Rovers, away from home, have won 4 of their last 5 road games. So you're getting a very good and informed Bristol Rovers team against an Ipswich side that isn't firing on all cylinders just now. And the 10-3 price tag is enough for me to back the away side in this one.
It's the side I'd be on. I wouldn't want to bet on Ipswich.
No, odds on, that's mental.
The draw would still worry me. But Ipswich do draw a lot at home, but they're fucking rotten. Mind the other ones I've tipped to go up as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're still like what, third in the league?
In that league, I think I tipped Peterborough. They're on all my coupons. They're doing all right. I've got a very nice fourfold. So Dundee United have already paid out. Peterborough to be promoted is on that. It's like this returns like a grand off of a tenner.
Right.
Copenhagen to win the Danish league, which is looking a wee bit dodgy.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Is that on that one? No, that's on a different one. It's Edinburgh City to win their league. So Cove Rangers obviously are they're reeling them back in, but where it's all falling down is Arsenal to finish top four.
I'd imagine when Bet365 decided to pay out in that, do you think it was like, alright, close the Vaughan account? That's just the one.
It's fine, he's doubled it with Arsenal on all his bets and we're safe. So yeah, it's Bristol Rovers away at Ipswich 10-3.
This week's charity, again, £10 treble of our own money, all goes to Beats and Cancer Trust.
So I think we hit it 3 weeks ago, and the last 2 weeks we've been 2 out of 3.
Yeah, we've been so close. I'm in Denmark, I'm taking Copenhagen home to Odense, 46, best home team versus 6 best away, so they're not bad, but it's the 4 out of 5. Copenhagen have won 4 of the last 5 home games, they're in really good form actually, they're through in the Europa League. And Odense, although they're quite high in the league, they've lost 4 of the last 5 away from home. So it just looks like it's leaning the right way. 46. It was 45 yesterday, so it's going out. I just don't know where it'll go.
Copenhagen need the wins to keep up with Midtjylland.
Yeah.
They need the wins. And I think Odense, they know their place. It'll be 4th or 5th. You know, there's three teams that will compete in that league. It's Midtjylland, Copenhagen and Brøndby. And then the rest little
chase.
Yeah, just chase. You know, try and just finish as high up the table as they can. So I quite like the Copenhagen pick.
Cool. So my charity is Lorient at home to Auxerre, the form team in the Domino's Pizza French League 2. Their home form is fantastic. They are the form team in the league. They've got 12 points. Auxerre are not. They, from the last five games, they've had 3 points. It's a team that should be in the... It should be heading up this year, and they know that. And this is the kind of game that's going to confirm that. They're just a better team than Auxerre. Auxerre's away record is pretty poor. They lost in the cup to a team in like the French region. They lost to the equivalent of Talbot in the cup, Auxerre.
Right, okay.
They lost to Homburg Hot, which have no other results in their...
They're that bad.
They've just beat Auxerre, and that's it. They'll get a result in the next round, whoever they play. 3-5. Lorient are not any good. Auxerre are not any good. Lorient are great.
I'm in the German Bundesliga Saturday at 2:30. It's Paderborn versus Union Berlin. Union 10th in the table with 19 points. Paderborn are joint last. They've only just got 8 points for their campaign so far. They've only got 3 points from their 7 home matches this season, so they just don't perform very well at home. Union are in good form just now, one of the form teams in the division. They've got 12 points from the last 5 matches, so that's 4 wins out of 5. And I'll take Union Berlin to win away at Paderborn at odds of 6-4.
So that's Copenhagen at home to Odense, Union Berlin away to Paderborn, and Lorient at home to Auxerre.
Oui.
Lorient at home to Auxerre.
Yes.
Have you
that
got anything
works
else?
Out at exactly 5-1.
Oh, I'll take nice. Fucking yes. So that's definitely 60 quid going to Beatson Cancer Trust.
Yep.
Anything else this week, betting wise?
Arsenal to beat Man City.
Mate, that ain't fucking happening.
No, it's Arsenal just beat not Man City. Happening.
Have you seen the fucking injury? Have you seen Tierney's out for 3.5 months?
Yeah, dislocated shoulder. That's fine. Having watched United play them, City are us last year.
So, gents, in the Trample Bet Draft League, which I take incredibly seriously, I have Kieran Tierney, but Edward Friel really wants him. And obviously he's out and injured for 3.5 months. So I got a transfer request through today that he'll give me Azpilicueta for him. Should I be taking that
yes.
now?
Yeah, fucking do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He really wants
Tierney. It's a dislocated shoulder, which means that he's out for 3 months. Dislocated shoulder 16 to 20 weeks. You can't play with...
You're in a sling.
He's done. They've said there's another scan, but he's got a dislocated shoulder. So he's definitely not going to play for 4 to 8 weeks, 100%.
So I have a feeling I have too many Arsenal players anyway.
Oh, fuck yeah, you need that sort. Especially with Guendouzi's not going to play the now.
I don't think he is either. Right. So I need to get rid of him, and I need to get rid of
Tierney. Sorry. Correction, because Xhaka went off injured, and looks like he's going to be missing for a couple of games.
See, and here is your reason. Like, Xhaka's terrible.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Like, the moment he gets injured.
I hate him.
I know. We know.
See when it went 2-1, uh-huh. He had a decent 10 minutes before going off injured. And I think a little bit with Arsenal. We've never played professional football. See the confidence factor of not having won in 11 games. It looked like the last 10 minutes looked like a different team.
Yeah.
Like everyone to a man.
Oh yeah. Pepe's goal was brilliant.
Beautiful.
Really good.
His assist for Aubameyang is brilliant as well.
Outstanding.
Martinelli's the one bright spark of the season so far.
I've bet on Arsenal all the time. It's just like a thing I do. It's like a tax I pay. Right? It's not incredible amounts of money. It's just something that I've got into the habit of doing over years now, and it really pisses me off if I don't do it and they win. So I just have to do it. Right?
So you've not been pissed off a lot recently? Just for the other reason?
Right.
11. No, 11.
So this week was basically the first week I've not bet on them in any way, shape or form. And I looked at it at halftime, and they were 92, and that went up even more in the beginning of the second half because they were dreadful in the first half, and they were even worse in the opening 10 minutes of the second half.
Xhaka was the best player.
I was texting Gordon, I was like, I've got nothing on this game. This feels amazing. Right? And of course they go and win 3-1, and I hate life again.
See, and this is the exact reason I don't want him picking on fucking Liverpool, right? See, he hasn't touched us all season, and we're playing the best we've played in 20 years, right? Now he's picking up, I think I'll pick Liverpool this weekend. We fucking lose 3-0 to Watford.
My footballing life went Wednesday, Rangers chucking away a 2-goal lead away at Aberdeen,
yep,
to fall behind Celtic by 2 points. Arsenal then losing at home to Brighton on Thursday night. Rangers losing the cup final on Sunday when they should have fucking won.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arsenal 1-0 down at half time. And there was a part, my mate said to me leaving the cup final on Sunday, he went, do you ever think what it's like not to watch football?
Yeah.
Like, we could have had a nice Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could have went to the pub and just had a few drinks and not felt like we're fucking, our souls have been ripped out of our body.
That's what I always used to say to people, like, when I was at school as a Dundee United fan and things like that. I'm like, oh, you know, Celtic or Rangers would have won again. And I'm like, yeah, we could be again. And I talked to my mate Ross, who's a big Air United fan and goes to all their games. And I'm like, you see how other people live, mate?
Like,
it must be fucking excellent. They don't even care. They don't even go to games. But yet, when Celtic win, they're all over Facebook, like, celebrating. Yeah. And there's me fucking on the bus back from our broth, wanting to throw myself in the Clyde.
That's the kind of thing we like, when being a Barcelona fan, right? Being a Barcelona fan is like the best thing ever, right? You show up to the stadium, it's not raining, right?
Yeah.
You fucking, you sit there, your team pumps someone, you go home.
You like, get a beer in the ground and stuff as well.
You bet in the ground, your team like plays interest in football. Then you're like, I've got to go and watch the Scotland national team. And I watch this and I think, it would be great if all of these players were really good.
But the great thing about this, so one of the good things about the Scottish national team is they don't play that often.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a weekly onslaught.
So this is okay, yeah. But when you're doing it week in, week out, it's over the Scottish winter, it's brutal.
Yes. John, like,
so,
what you got?
So for instance,
I've got another moan about Arsenal.
So hold that, because while I'm on actually a really good run, just generally in life just now, it's actually working all right for me. So I was through.
Is this just betting or like just...
That's what I mean.
All right, everything's going all right.
He's white, his team's winning.
Going to Green and Martin last night, right? So it's fucking awful weather. So I'm driving through with my brother and we get to the gate and I've got my 20 quid out and the boy in front of me goes like that, mate, I've got a spare ticket for the match. Do you want it? I was like, yeah, of course I want it. So he just goes, all right, cool. Gives me it, and I go. And I'm like, oh, at least let me give you something for it. No, mate, would have gone in the bin. Fine. So in for free, save myself 20 quid. And then on Bet365, just jump on 20 quid on Shankland to score, Dundee United to win, half-time, full-time. Sales in. What a great wee night.
Brilliant. Does that make up for the previous 15 years of
No,
art?
No.
There's 60 quid. Have fun.
So I have been regularly making it my own campaign to fucking get the social media team at Arsenal sacked.
Oh, Jesus.
So
I love watching this.
I did it with Brighton, right? I said, stop tweeting.
Yeah.
Tweet less. Just don't do it, right?
Yep, you did.
And then you mentioned that they keep posting old goals.
Old goals.
And they've done it almost every hour.
Yeah. It's as if the club isn't in horrendous turmoil
right now. Look away. Look away. Keep looking away. Don't look at him. Arsenal beat West Ham, who, with the exception of Watford, are the other horrendously out of form team.
Yep.
If you take away their Chelsea fluke victory, they hadn't won in 12 games.
Yeah, they're dire.
Between the final whistle and lunchtime on Tuesday morning, Arsenal's social media had posted 22 times about the victory over West Ham. That is fucking embarrassing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's everything that's wrong with the club. See that? Fucking showing fans dancing to the fucking subway. It's fucking embarrassing. You beat West Ham. They're one of the worst teams in the league. Their manager's about to get fucking sacked 22 times. I went through and counted. That's how raging I was. Because every time I went on, there was a new tweet about how good the result was. And I'm just going, are you fucking kidding me on? That was a BAU. That was business as usual. Move on. One tweet, fucking next game. Because we're going to go to Liège with a weakened team in a competition that we can only get knocked out if Liège beat us 5-0, I think, because we beat them 4-0 at home.
Yep.
Yeah.
So only they can only catch us with a head-to-head. I'm not saying it's impossible that Arsenal lose 5-0.
But it's unlikely.
It's unlikely. But even then, we're going to send a weakened side and lose.
I love the responses to those Arsenal tweets, though. Like the one John had retweeted. He'd been on Twitter, obviously been raging about it.
and I'd
clicked on it and I'd went down and someone had replied with a picture of a rear view mirror. And it said in the corner of the mirror, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. And it had a picture of the Sky Bet Championship.
Saw that.
Very into that.
The one I thought you were going to do is I had said tweet less and one of my mates had commented saying you should do that.
Sick burn.
Yeah, because I always forget that on Facebook as well. See, when I'm just, so the season United were getting relegated, right, where fucking Stephen Thompson sold all our best players from under our nose and Jackie McNamara hoovered up all the spare change, right? Fucking, I was on everything. I was raging, right? I was screaming at the games. I was shouting at people in the park. Paul Payton offered to fight my brother. That was mental.
He was a year below me at high school.
Was he?
In Linwood, aye.
Yeah, he's at Hampden. He was on there. He came over to see the fans at the end of the game. And we were all
mental.
I know he's mental. because we were all in the stand, just fucking angry. And he's come over, maybe with good intentions, to like clap the effort from opposing fans. But it's not the time, man, right? Because we're all raging, yeah. Right? So he's the only one that's come across. And of course, he just gets abuse hurled at him. And then he fucking, come on down here and fucking say that to my face. It's like, I no worries. I'm just going to get past all the stewards and like walk onto the pitch.
Like Gladiator for like running the gauntlet.
For like a televised fight with you.
It's like the Jerry Sinnamon video.
Aye, so I'll come down there.
Of him being on stage, yeah. 20 feet away from the guy that's threw a bottle at him, pointing at him, and then walking to the edge of stage and then go back and get his guitar again and just start singing.
Yeah.
it was like that. But you know, obviously, like emotions run really high in football, especially that. But that whole season, I was just angry on social media at United, but forgetting that, like, depending on what settings Facebook have, like, it gets flagged up to my mates. Like, Andy's commented again on Dundee United. Just me being raging. And they're all just laughing at it every single time. It. Just like, reshare.
Yeah. I wouldn't go to the lens. I think, maybe I would. I think almost smaller the club, the less inclined I would be to moan at someone. But see if I know Shaq is picking up 80 grand a week, I have no fucking issue abusing him. Because I'm going, no, mate, you earn millions. The same way I would a banker that earns millions that's running a company into the ground.
Yeah.
I go, no. Whereas I wouldn't abuse a small business owner if I try to balance his books.
So what we were saying, that wasn't what happened at Dundee United. It was disgusting what happened at Dundee United.
I just meant in size.
I know, but Stephen Thompson fucked that club from the inside out when his father died, to try to take all his money back out, right? You're a fucking horrible snake.
I mean, I'm a Rangers fan, I totally agree with
Rangers fans dislike him, right? But a lot of them don't understand Dundee United fans hate him probably just as much. they really, really do. He killed the club. But yeah, that's your entire life, especially so the smaller teams as well. What I was saying, like, they go into all the games, it's a huge time investment, it's a huge money investment. And to see the club be ripped apart by people that are meant to be custodians of it it makes you really angry.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere was toxic and it extended to the players on the pitch who perhaps maybe felt weren't trying so hard, but they got it. And it was all because of fucking Stephen Thompson.
Other picks. Does anybody get anything else that's interesting?
I quite like
apart from Arsenal scudding City at the weekend.
I quite like Newcastle away at Burnley because you'll get them over 3-1.
Yeah. Was that close to your outsider?
It was close to my outsider. Yeah. But I just fancy the Bristol Rovers game more.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't be advising anyone to necessarily back this, but go and have a look at Newcastle, who have pulled off some pretty good results recently. And Burnley, I think, have lost 6 of their last 8. They're not as solid as when they started the season.
I think looking at their game against Tottenham and the comments that Sean Dyche said after the game, I think they'll be well drilled for that game. Can we also just dispel one of the goals that happened last weekend that everyone is overreacting?
What for?
Son's goal.
Oh, Son's goal, yeah. Best goal of all time ever. Yeah.
Best goal of all time ever. You cannot run 90 yards and have only 2 people try to tackle you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Sean Dyche is referring to when he said it's almost like nobody knew how to tackle and win the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you run 90 yards unopposed?
If you want to see another best goal ever from last weekend, I'm in one of these pick a winner things, right, from the Scottish leagues, and I picked Stirling, who twice took the lead against Brechin and lost 4-2. Right, so I was like, how the fuck did this happen? I was just scrolling through it. The keeper scored. In a 4-2 win, so that's obviously not he's come up from a header.
Oh, he's punted the ball.
He's just fucking hit the ball as hard as he can from like just outside his own penalty box and it's just bounced twice. Yeah, one of those ones. What a goal.
Yeah.
I have no other bets.
Disappointing. Yeah. I thought you'd be all over Arsenal.
Mate, there's no way I'm touching that. Man City are going to come and do a job on Arsenal. It's going to be really, really upsetting to watch.
Yeah, can we go for it?
What's your correct score? What do you think? I'm optimistic. I think 2-1 Arsenal.
I'll go, oh my God, with the way defensive playing, I'll go 4-1 City.
Yeah, I'd say 3-1 City.
Both teams to score a lock there.
And what happened in your fantasy football?
Oh, fantasy football this week. So in the Trample Bet League, that was just free to enter, everyone can come in. Eddie Cassidy's running away with it. He's got like a 26-point lead now, which is quite sizable. But, you know, that's not what matters. What matters is the draft league. And in the draft league, I managed to beat leader Ben Conley this week with
Cayman leader Ben
Conley. A very unlikely turn of events, and it was six of my players are Arsenal players, so like I really need Arsenal to do well. And Aubameyang obviously scored. That was great. Kolasinac got assist points.
Oh, yeah. For and then I was... Martinelli.
Aubameyang got his three bonus points for the game, and I just started creeping up because he had like a 20-something point lead going into that game. And then I was looking at it going, all I need now is for some substitutes to come on to pick up like 1 point here or there. Guendouzi came on. That was it done. It was great.
Who was it scored for Eddie Friel last week to beat me? That was a very...
Moppy.
Moppy. So Jason Stott posted in the
Sheffield
group...
United.
Yeah. Sheffield United. It's like, you're in the clear. You're in the clear for a win this week. And I posted some gif. And yes, he's like, unless Moppy scores. And as I read it, Moppy scored.
Aye.
I was like, thanks, Jason.
So we have a wee bit of change in that league. So Neil Moore now leads the way with Moore.
We don't have change
Moore's
in the
marbles. And no, we don't. So Gordon
LePuy.
It's a head-to-head league, so there's been 16 fixtures. Gordon has won 2 and lost 14, which is just incredible. Neil Moore leads the way with 11 wins, 1 draw and 4 losses, and I actually play him this week. So
I'm not even in it, and my record's almost as good as that.
Yeah, pretty much.
You need to be in it next year. The draft league's amazing.
You also need to be in it to win it. John,
I know.
Fucking not putting yourself up for this stick I'm getting this league.
So there's loads of good picks out there this weekend. Do share them with us on Twitter or Facebook. Please join the Facebook group. Just search Trampled Bet Podcast on Facebook. There's almost 100 of us in there now, sharing picks, talking about it.
See, every time we put up a podcast episode, share it, tell people.
Yeah.
Because when people share it, it goes up. It like goes up massively.
Yeah.
So we do need your help. Do you know what else would help? See, when you're sharing it, see if you are actually a listener. Go and comment that you actually listen.
Yeah.
And tell people about the actual podcast.
And the fact that we absolutely raped the bookies last week.
Yeah, because it's really hard because people chime up when we get fucked.
Yeah.
But because you sell yourself as a betting podcast or a prediction podcast, you don't get any credit for when you pull out a fucking... You
That's
pulled
two,
out a three, almost 41 and you pulled out an 11-4.
Yeah, 10-3.
How many people have genuinely gone fucking sticking a 3-1 or a 41 in their coupon?
Nobody.
Almost nobody's doing that. Like,
John, success has many fathers. Failure's an orphan. A fucking orphan.
I don't really know what that means.
Well, I don't know, but it sounds good.
It does
you
sound
are
good.
Alone as soon as you start losing, right? It's when you're winning, everything, I tipped that bad boy. As soon as you fucking Cologne lose 8-1, you're alone.
But that's 2 weeks in a row.
Yes,
that have been really, really, really good. So hopefully this is a third one as well. Do share it. Ask others to share it as well. Ask your partner, ask your friends to share it. Because even if they don't like football, someone in their network will.
That's exactly it.
That's
someone
the whole point.
Will like it.
Someone will like this, someone will get involved, and at the end of the day, it's a bit of fun.
It's fun, because what we also need is we want predictions back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to be told on
Show
Friday
me your winners.
And Saturday, who have we missed?
Yeah.
Because there is loads that I don't look at, I'm like, fucking...
anywhere that doesn't end in an itch or an ev.
So yeah, share with you on Twitter.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at ASVSports.
Get me at _GordoMick.
You can get me at JohnWalker_1986, or you can get us all at TramplBet. Have a good weekend.
Happy hunting.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.